Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the original Loretta Brown Show Radio to open the heart, heal the soul, and awaken the consciousness. Good morning, Mr. Benny Mathers.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. How's it going? How was Easter?
Easter was good. We only had one missing egg at the very end of it all, which is a good thing. Although it's kind of like every year we always have one that's missing. And sure enough, we did miss one, but it was found later. It was found a few hours later. So at least that's
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Because do you use real eggs or plastic eggs or a combination or?
So in history, in the past history with my family, we've done the real ones. We, colored them up and set them around the yard. And then my current family with Jessica and her kids and my kids, we do kind of collab with all the other grandkids too. We do the plastic, but they're filled with money. So I wouldn't want to keep money out there in the yard.
Money.
So I feel like those are important ones to find.
Yeah, I think those are real important to find.
Yeah.
I love it. It was great weather on Sunday and it was really fun.
It was a great weekend. We actually did our egg hunt on Saturday, the day before, just because of family plans and stuff like that. But it was a great weekend. And, you know, this upcoming eclipse, I don't know if you're excited. I know I am.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to talk about it in a minute.
Good.
But yes.
All right.
Yeah. We'll talk about the eclipse. I have got to put a peg in. My niece and her husband asked if I would announce that they're helping with a church on the east side, called Redeemer Redmond. So I'm just putting a little ad out there for them. Their goal is to get rid of loneliness and isolation on the east side. So if you want a nice little church to go to, go take a look at it. They're very friendly, and it's a small church, very small. So.
Well,
they meet
good,
on the
though.
second floor of the hotel there in Redmond. So there you go.
Being intimate on the church levels is fantastic. It's good. It's good to
get
those people close.
So it's good to get together with people and and I think we need to come out a bit.
There
so anyway, yeah. So welcome to April. Ubi, ubi, ubi. I am Loretta Brown. I'm the owner of Reiki Oasis located right here in the greater Seattle area for the last 28 years. And you can find out more about me at ReikiOasis.com and schedule everything at schedule.ReikiOasis.com. There's always something going on over there. But April brings some of the biggest cosmic events of 2022, including a total solar eclipse, new moon in Aries, and the faded and rare meeting of Jupiter and Uranus on April 20th, which, by the way, I talked about last week, and it is a big event, but today I'm going to focus on that eclipse because it's coming up. So this energy makes April an absolute turning point month. And we also began the month on April 1st with Mercury going retrograde. April Fool, but no, it did. And it will be retrograde until the 25th. Now, retrograde get a bad rap, but as everybody knows, all it's doing is helping us revisit something from the past that we need to take a look at. And we have all this other energy, I'll get into it, but it's a real time of powerful healing. Today, April 4th is 4-4. And there is something called the 4-4 portal, the 44 portal. And we're receiving high frequency energy into our systems. And this is coming straight into our hearts. Venus is in a great position, it's about love. And I'm not there yet, but I keep saying that this eclipse is the total eclipse of my heart, you know, anyway, because it is hammering on what is it that we really want, what matters to us. So we're opening up to the new, jumping into the unknown and breaking free. But doing so will also stir up a lot of darkness or what is not that. 44 means ability. Worthiness, hard work, achieving success, and wholeness. Wow. I want to bring my guest in right now, but I'll hold off. Those are words for her. So great change is here and we can already feel it. We're stepping into our power and creating the life we desire. Now, on April 5th, which is tomorrow, Venus, the planet of love and relationships, moves into the fiery sign of Aries, bringing powerful leadership energy, the desire to try something new or take steps in a new direction. This energy can sometimes roll over a little too far into impulsiveness, or where we're more driven by our passions. And I always say just, you know, rein it in a little bit and help direct it so it doesn't go all over the place like a wild horse, right? And on Monday, oh boy, get ready. April 8th, we have one of the most powerful cosmic events. Like I said, the Aries new moon total solar eclipse, which is visible across North America and Central America. Now, on the 25th of March, we just had the full moon Libra lunar eclipse. I know to some of you, I'm like, what is she saying? And that eclipse is working with this solar eclipse. And these eclipses are working with eclipses from 2017. And we have more eclipses coming later in the year. And oh my gosh, Loretta, my head's spinning. What is happening? These energies are bringing in what's called an absolute energetic reset, the powerful frequencies of change and forward movement. These eclipses are unlocking what is called fated contracts. Now, that could be good. I'm just saying. So what's the big hoopla? I'm sure by now that many of you heard about all kinds of things, to include end of the world predictions, stock up on food, water, and gas for 2 weeks, or even the rapture, the return of Christ, that it, whether this eclipse is biblical or not, it is certainly one of the longest and most powerful eclipses of our lifetime. The eclipses themselves kind of go through about 2 hours, and there's a space of total eclipse where that moon is going to be blocking out the sun, and that's going to last almost 5 minutes, which is a long time. It's said that the countries that can see the total eclipse are going to be countries that are up for change and transformation, which would be North America and Central America. While eclipses can stir transformative energy for everyone, solar eclipses are considered door openers that can open new pathways for us and get us to see things in a whole new light. We may experience a deep aha moment, or a moment of clarity. We may also decide to take a new step in a new direction. Solar eclipses tend to reveal to us, like I said, what we really want. And sometimes we're in touch with what we want. And other times, what we want may suddenly take us by surprise. Sometimes we just don't know what we want because we've listened to other people tell us what we should want for too long. This eclipse is a powerful portal for manifestation work. It's a great time to set some intentions for the future. So when I talk about solar energy versus lunar energy, I just want to throw this in there because it's coming to me. The energy of this solar eclipse is really very potent. Like I said, it's not, believe it or not, the most important astrological event of this month, but it's very important in that it provides an opportunity for very high frequency love and light to come down and to help elevate us. And so if you've been feeling stuck down in the mud, I always say, just look up, right? Look up, raise your arms up, stand up. And some people believe that the energy of this eclipse is going to upgrade our DNA and things like that. I really do suggest that you take a little bit of time on the 8th in the morning, because it will be here in our area around, I think, 10:30 in the morning. I'll double check on that and post it on my Facebook page. But just take a little bit of time. It's always good to be a little bit introspective. I always tell people, I'm just telling you the astrological weather. We are greater than the stars, or we can take a hold of it. Like if it's snowing outside, I'm probably not going to wear shorts out there, right? And so that's what this is all about. So do take some time and take a look at it. That right at the time of the eclipse, we also have the annual conjunction between Chiron, the wounded healer, and the sun. And with them both in Aries, we're working on healing the primary wound of who we are. These wounds come from our life experiences, but can also be something we inherit from our upbringing, our ancestry, or even past lives. And as the sun aligns with Chiron under the eclipse, we may feel a healing breakthrough of sorts, receive some powerful insights or deeper awareness or understandings. And the sun and Chiron do meet every year, but because this is right in the eclipse, it's at the same degree of the eclipse. It's very potent. In addition, we also have the North Node in Aries, and I've talked about that on other shows. So a couple of things about the solar event. The upcoming total solar eclipse, April 8th, is 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days after the last total eclipse over the U.S. in 2017. Yes, indeedy. The crossing of these eclipse lines spells in Hebrew Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The current eclipse passes over seven U.S. cities named Nineveh. The eclipse in 2017 passed over seven U.S. cities named Salem. And all of the major planets are in a perfect alignment with this 2024 total solar eclipse, along with the Pleiades and a cosmic avatar visiting us, arriving on the Dragon Comet, also known as the Mother of Dragons. I'm sorry, I had to share all that because it's absolutely like, are you kidding me, right? The X intersects over the Great New Madrid Fault Zone. And the last total solar eclipse followed the path of the crack across America from Montana to Florida. The cicada locust plague is also centered in that area, starting at the same time. And the path of totality begins in America in a place called Jonah, also the one who called Nineveh to repent as the solar eclipse happens. So you can see why people are calling it biblical. And the two eclipse lines, one from 2017 and the one from 2024, intersect above Jacob, Illinois, at a street called Salem. And so there we are. Now, do not be alarmed. A lot of this is interesting tidbits. And I'm looking forward to the new energies that are coming in. I can already feel it. We are at a time of great change. I want to remind you that we are co-creating our future and our reality. And if we are unhappy with our lives or the lives around us, we can take back that ability to co-create a beautiful, beautiful world. I can't think of a better, longer introduction. I want to bring my guest in. After growing up in one of the roughest areas of West Detroit, BIPOC life coach and author Chloe Panta's extraordinary journey from adversity to entrepreneurial success is a powerful example of determination, resilience, and a positive mindset in action. Chloe Panta is the author of Untapped Magic, Manifestation Methods for Living a Limitless Life. She's highly sought after mindset expert and transformational coach who helps people achieve their ultimate life goals. She uses an evidence-based proven system with scientific data to support its effectiveness in helping her clients overcome obstacles that keep them stuck in life, rise above negative self-talk and low energies to cultivate a new way of thinking that will surround them with abundance, peace, joy, and ease. My goodness, Chloe, you are coming in, apparently, on the back of the Mother of Dragon Comet. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here, Loretta.
I am thrilled with you being on this day. The amount of change energy in the world is astronomical. And even though I have a lot of fun with that astrology report, there's great truths within the energies that we exist in. So I want to introduce you to the audience. I want them to know who you are. This beautiful book, Untapped Magic, it's really fantastic. Please tell us about yourself and your growing up years, mm-hmm. and what brought you to write this book. That's a big question.
Yeah. So I grew up in West Detroit, and I grew up in a neighborhood that was rough. But it wasn't always that way. Back in the 1950s, my grandmother and my grandfather were actually the first African-American family to move into the neighborhood. And it was a beautiful neighborhood at that time. And it was a great place to raise a family. But as time went on, a lot of people who were original owners in the neighborhood, they moved out to the suburbs. And then as Black people moved in, the property value went down. And then a lot of traumatic experiences began to happen, especially crime and violence began to take over in the inner city in Detroit. And by the time I came around, it just wasn't a great neighborhood per se as how it was back in the 50s. But that doesn't mean I didn't have a good life coming up. My grandmother and my mother raised me and my brother. We had a really amazing childhood. Our life was great. But it's just that the surrounding environment was not a place that I wanted to be in, especially when we'd go places on the weekends. We'd always tend to travel to the suburbs to shop and just spend time. And I would love to see the beautiful houses and just everything around me in that environment. I wanted to be a part of that, and I didn't want to have to go back home to where we live. So we'd spend all this time that we'd have to come back home. And I would feel as if, well, why can't we live in a really nice house in a really nice neighborhood? What's stopping us from doing that? And at a really young age, I was cognizant. I was aware of talks about money. I was talks about struggle and bills. And those things looped in my mind and my subconscious mind as well. If you want to have success, you know, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be hard for you. It's not going to be easy. And that made me very self-conscious about what I could achieve and what was possible for me on a subconscious level. So as I got older, I wanted to experience something completely different. I mean, growing up in that area, I witnessed, well, I didn't see this happen, but I was told that a 10-year-old, and we used to hang out and, you know, play with each other, you know, in the porch and just kind of have fun. He was shot and killed in crossfire of a drive-by shooting. And this happened just several, you know, houses down from where I lived. And, you know, my brother was robbed and shot, you know, several houses down. So I knew that this was not where I wanted to be. And that really propelled me to want to change. So I would say since I was about, I don't know, as young as maybe 10 or 11, I knew that when I was old enough, when I was considered an adult, I would try and get out of this neighborhood and live somewhere else. And I made that happen at 19. And that quest changed me to want to search for what I would consider happiness. And happiness for me was safety. It was security. It was protection. It was stability. And that was something that I've always wanted to have in my life and just live differently than how I was raised. And that began me to understand more about spirituality, the law of attraction, and understanding that what we think about becomes our lives, but not only just our thoughts, but our actions. And I wanted to really dig deep into that. And in my 20s, that led me to go to many different types of events and conferences, but also even spiritual retreats to figure out, you know, am I searching for something that doesn't exist? Is it really possible to live an amazing life? And can I have that? Because when you're surrounded by negativity, people telling you that your dreams are unrealistic, you can't have this, and you think that that's your reality, how do you escape that? And that led me to writing this book. Once I began to figure things out and my life began to drastically change, I wanted this book to help other people, either like myself or just people who feel that they've gone through life and they don't know what to do next. They're just stuck. They feel that they're lost. They don't have guidance or direction, and they really want to change, but they have no idea how to do that. Or even for someone who's been on this journey for quite some time, and they feel as if they want to up-level their life in some way, and they're ready for transformational change. And in the book, I give so many modalities and techniques to actually apply to do the work and live your most amazing, limitless life. And that's kind of my story and what I do and why I do it.
It's an amazing story, Chloe. It's an amazing story. When you grew up, I'm just being with that, right? Like you said, your mom and your grandma, I don't actually know if you said that or if I just heard it. Okay. So you were basically raised by these people who wanted you to live a better life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was all they ever mm-hmm. wanted from me. But when you own a home and your home that you've lived in your most of your adult life. This is from my grandmother's perspective, and you worked extremely hard to become a homeowner. You don't want to see that taken away. Right. So, you know, it's difficult for you to have to want to leave because you've worked so hard to make this life the best it can be. But when times change, we have to pivot sometimes and figure out what is the next move. And eventually, after a year, when I moved out, my grandmother moved into an assisted living home. And then my mother and brother continued to live there in the home that we grew up in. And by that time, I moved away to the suburbs. I was able to find a job. I was able to get a car. And I was considered independent at 19. I was taking some classes at a university, and I just wanted to better myself. But when this is all you know, and you don't know what you don't know, you're going to continue to live the life that you've been living because you don't know what else to do or what other opportunities there may be to help you to live a better life.
That's a powerful statement, and it's spot on. So many people, you know, they'll say, Loretta, I want something different, but I don't even really know what it is. Or I know I want this thing, but I don't have any idea how to get it, right? Like, how do I really believe I can have it? How do I really do it? And before I get to that, I want to ask you, is your mom still alive? Is your grandma passed over?
My grandmother passed away in 2019, and it was crazy because I had this premonition. I don't know what it was. It was a feeling in my gut that something was going to happen on this day. And it was July 18, 2019. And my family and I were supposed to actually fly down to Atlanta, Georgia, to have a family reunion with my dad's side of the family. I haven't seen them since I was actually a baby. My parents got divorced when I was very young. I think I was about 6. And they split up. And I've never met my family from my dad's side. So we were all going to go and meet them for the first time since I was a baby. And I told my husband, like, I don't think I should go. There's something's going to happen on this day. I can't go. He's like, no, everything's going to be fine. Just go. You're going to be fine. Yeah. So I'm like, is something going to happen to me? I just have this terrible feeling in my gut that something is going to happen. And I flew down to Atlanta, flight was fine, checked into the Airbnb, my family picked them up from the airport, we're there, and I'm like, okay, the day is almost over, it's like 11 o'clock at night, I'm going to go to bed, nothing happened, I guess, I'm okay. And then my mother got a call, we were sharing a room there, and the words that she said was not responsive. And I cried, and I knew that my grandmother had gone. And that was the feeling. That was the gut feeling that, you know, this is something. We had a strong connection. Mm-hmm. My grandmother and I were extremely close, but my mother is still here. My grandmother has passed away in 2019, but I still feel that obviously she's with me. She's seen what I'm doing. She's proud of me.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a very traumatic moment in my life. But my mother, she's definitely proud of me. She's since moved out of the house that we grew up in. Now she's in a way better neighborhood in the suburbs, and she's happy. But growing up, it was just that I wanted to make that change happen because I really wanted to, for us all, to just have a better quality life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I bring it up because we're women and strong women, and I can feel your grandma's presence, and I just had to bring it through. So much love to your grandma, your mom, you, and all the things that you've gone through, which are so tough, and here you are. So untapped magic, huh? I love it. I don't exactly know everything, but I do know that we stand on the shoulders of our ancestors. And if they didn't do what they did, and if they didn't lift us up, or if they didn't have us, irregardless of our relationship with them, and by the way, as opposed to my grandma too, But I always think about that, like, no, they're lifting you up and they're saying, come on, do it, right?
Yeah.
And it helps you and it helps them and it helps the future generations. Yeah.
It definitely does.
Wow. Yeah. That alone is so inspiring. I thank you so much for being vulnerable and sharing that. I think it's important for people to know that you're a person, mm-hmm. and even though you're a magical person, that you've come to your medicine, your alchemy, your magic, it's been hard earned and it's real. It's the real thing. Yeah.
Absolutely. And absolutely. I share because I want someone else to know, even if it's just one person, that you're not alone, that you're not the only one that had to struggle or had to go through adversity in order to get to the other side. And I always tell people that even though it may be raining, the sunshine is on the way. You're never going to be down forever. You're always going to be able to get back up. There is light at the end of the tunnel. And even if it feels hard right now, it's never going to be a permanent thing. Whenever there's an ebb, there's always a flow. So I want people to always realize that we have to go through tough things sometimes in our lives to learn in order to achieve the goals that we want to be, but become stronger and be prepared for what's to come. That's how I look at it.
Yes. Yes. It's really great. So we're going to take a little station break right now. And please don't go away. Chloe Panta, author of Untapped Magic, Manifestation Methods for Living a Limitless Life. And we're going to talk directly about her book. And I actually have so many questions. I have 50 questions. We probably won't make it through those. So anyway, it's Loretta Brown. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Blind, low vision, eyesight changing, you are not alone. Connecting with blind and low vision people can provide support and expand your understanding of what is possible. We are making our own choices every day, but we are also stronger together. To learn more, visit us on the web at blind.org. The National Federation of the Blind. Live the life you want.
Did you know that Reiki healing can be done at a distance? It's true. So let Reiki Oasis focus powerful energy to help relieve your stress, grief, sadness, anger, and so much more. Convenient, personalized treatments at a distance can increase lightness of being. During your appointment, find a quiet place to lie down or sit to receive healing energies. If you want help with your dis-ease, visit ReikiOasis.com. Harness life's energy. Visit ReikiOasis.com today.
You should do a podcast. Ever hear this from someone? Maybe you brushed it off. Yeah, right, me, a podcast. Well, you might be surprised. Podcasting can be easy and affordable. But like anything else, you're gonna have to get educated. Why not share your voice? Say what you want to say and say it professionally with a produced podcast. Call 425-653-1020. That's 425-653-1020. Because, hey, you know what? You should do a podcast.
Alternative Talk, 1150 on AM, 98.9 HD3 on HD, 1150KKNW.com on the web.
Perfect. Yep. Total Eclipse of the Heart coming up on Monday. It's already here. Anyway, welcome back to the original Loretta Brown Show. And my guest today is Chloe Panta, author of Untapped Magic. I want to remind people that these shows are archived. You can download them for free at the 1150 KKNW archives for the original Loretta Brown Show. And we're also on iTunes, Podcast One, Megaphone X, YouTube. I'm sure I've left something out. We're all over the place, and there are hundreds, if not thousands, of shows. I just, please go and listen to things. The whole idea is to try to lift you up. Today now, though, we're going to be talking to Chloe Panta. Chloe, your book is called Untapped Magic. What magic are you talking about?
I'm talking about the magic of our minds. And I feel that some of us, we just don't tap into the power that we already have inside of us, and we don't have to seek external validation or external confirmation to use the power that lies within us. And our untapped magic is the key in order for us to live our most amazing life. So in the book, I talk about how we can actually use the power of our mind to change our physical worlds to reflect what it is that we actually want to show up in this world. So the title just came to me from nowhere. I'm like, oh, Untapped Magic, that's going to be the name of the book, because it was very fitting with how I want people to react when they read the book. It's how you can actually tap into your mind and get what you want in this world.
So what is the connection between the subconscious mind and the things we're hoping to manifest in our lives? What are some of the pitfalls here?
So the subconscious mind, that houses all of our long-term memories. It houses how we act. It houses our feelings, our emotions, our behaviors, everything that we've learned from a child all the way up to a young adult. That is what is looping in our lives today. Whatever we believe in, our subconscious mind brings that to us and it shows up in our life. In order for us to change our life, we have to change our beliefs and we have to change the way that we think. If we feel that we're not good enough for something, or, you know, this will never happen for me because of X, Y, and Z excuse, we have to change the way that we think and we have to change the behaviors in order for us to really cultivate and call in the life that we want. And when we do that, we have to unblock what I call limiting beliefs. So the things that are keeping us stuck, because whatever we believe in, it's true for us. And once we change our beliefs, we can then change the world that we see. So if we are living in an environment that we're not happy about, instead of us thinking about how much we hate our place, or we're not happy, or how many bills we have to pay, or all the things that are going to keep us stuck and unhappy, we have to then think about how grateful we are to even have a home, how many people are unhoused, how many people who don't have clothing or the ability to buy new clothes. We have to be grateful for what we currently have. And that will in tune allow us to create greater abundance because we are grateful for what we currently have right now. Just being thankful for that will allow us to up-level our lives and pull in and call in what we actually want.
So I have a couple of questions. They're very practical. What is, so I got two questions. I'll ask the first one first and the second one second. So let's say that I have a goal of, I don't know, $5 million or something, like $5 million, you know, and a big house on the hill and whatever the heck it is. And I'm struggling to make ends meet. Like I literally have $5 in my wallet, Loretta, right? $5 in my wallet, Chloe. And how do I transition that gap? Because you're saying, be grateful for what you have, you know, and the other part of this, and I'm probably jumping in too far here, maybe not, is to actually know what it is we want. So can you just jump in there and give us your wisdom?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. So first, if our goal is to have $5 million, we have to ask ourselves, does that seem possible for us to have today? Is it realistic for us to have the $5 million? Does that feel like it's within our reach? If it feels too far away, we have to ask for a smaller goal that feels achievable for us to have. And what I mean by that is, if you have the $5 million in the house on the hill, what would you do with it? How would you manage the money? Would you hire a money manager? Would you put the money in an IRA? If friends and family asked for money, would you loan it out? If you did, how would you get it back? If you said no, would you be able to still maintain the relationships? There's so many questions that go into what you're asking for. But the bigger question is, what is the intention behind the $5 million? Mm-hmm. Is it for you to feel safety and secure? Is it for you to feel as if you will now have generational wealth for families to come? What are the intentions and the essences behind wanting that amount of money in the house? If it's just because, oh, I just want it. I don't know. Just want to have $5 million. Well, you're not going to get it because there's no intention or essence behind the actual ask. But if the ask is, I just want to feel safe and secure, maybe that's living in a better home. Maybe what you're really asking for is, I want to live in a better environment and I want to have enough money that's going to make me feel safe and secure. That number might not be $5 million right now. maybe that number is triple what you currently make, and it's a better home in a better a suburb or a better neighborhood. Then maybe that's what the goal is for you. So even if we don't know what we want, but we're asking for something, we have to get clear on the intention behind the ask and the essence behind that. So that's the quality of what that's going to provide for us. And that's when we're going to be able to actually manifest it. And it's going to feel more real and achievable for us to have that.
You have in your book a manifestation list, mm-hmm. right? Talk about that a little bit, the manifestation list.
Yeah. So the manifestation list, I have two of them. There's a big goals manifestation list, and there's a little one so that you can achieve little goals. And I have these lists because they're important for us to write down what we're trying to manifest into this world. Like for me, I've manifested pretty much everything that I've ever wanted. I've been able to manifest that, from little things to big things. And I want people to be able to manifest what they want as well. So for the little list, you might write down, oh, I want to find a pair of vintage Levi's jeans, you know, for like $10 somewhere. I want to find like something really, really good. Or I want to win like a $100 gift card for, you know, some coffee shop or whatever it is that you want. Those are considered small manifestations, but they're easy wins. So once you are able to manifest those smaller things, you can then go on to manifest bigger goals. That can be attracting a partner. I want to have a partner. I want to be able to have someone to share my life with. And I want them to be genuine and kind. I want them to be sexy. I want them to be, you know, all the things. You have to write that down. But also you have to write down how they'll treat you. So that's what I would consider a big manifestation. And feel how it would actually feel to interact with them. How would they make you feel? Where would you go? What would you do? And once you have that feeling, knowing that this person is going to be coming into your life, you have to then know that you're worthy and deserving of having them. That is the key, is feeling worthy of that. If we don't feel that we're worthy or deserving of having something, it's not going to come, because we haven't up-leveled our life to meet the vibrational frequency level of the level that they are on. So we have to then raise our vibe to match the thing that we're trying to manifest in this world.
So in your book, you know, you talk about manifesting your man, your person.
Yes.
By the way, I love your list in there. I was just looking at it like, oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So did you manifest your list?
I did.
Okay.
Manifested my husband.
Yeah. You also talk about something that I think is really important in there. And you're talking about how you're like, okay, so this is my manifestation list. This is what I want. And then you seriously took a look at yourself and you went, you know what? I need to get to the gym and I need to, you know, drop a few pounds and I need to get my money in order and talk. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So when it comes to manifesting something, if we're asking for something really big, we have to look in the mirror and say, okay, am I ready for what I'm asking for? Do I match what they want? If I need them to have excellent credit, do I myself have excellent credit? If they're going to be fit and if they're going to be in shape, am I myself going to be in shape, or do I consider myself attractive enough and am I loving myself the way I am? If I don't, how can I cultivate self-love to make myself so worthy and deserving because I know what I want and deserve? How do I get myself together? If we're not doing what we need to do to get where we want to be, then we can't ask for something that we ourselves are not emulating to the person that we're actually trying to attract. So we have to then get ourselves together. And that's why when I was thinking about how do I get myself together, I knew that I wanted to, at that time, have a higher paying job. I wanted to have enough money saved away. I recently moved into a new luxury apartment at this time, out of state. I had just got a brand new car, and I was also already on my journey to losing weight. So I was at that point where I had my things lined up, and I was like, okay, now I think I'm ready to call in a partner. I have what I would want him to have. So now I'm going to match whatever he is needing in a partner himself, you know? And I manifested my husband 9 months later. And I surrendered. I just basically surrendered. I knew what I put my order in. Manifestation list is my order. Like, okay, universe, here's my order. I'll be waiting for that to come. And it came. It definitely came. And I knew it was him. I just knew. I'm like, you know what? This is it. And it's funny because at the time, he didn't want a relationship. He didn't want to be married. He didn't want any of that. But I let things flow naturally. And as time went on, things naturally evolved. He changed his mind. He was like, you're the one. And it was just bliss. So I say to people, you have to know your worth. You have to understand what you're worthy and deserving of, and what you want, it will come to you. That's how the universe works.
Yes. I love that. I love that story. I was thinking back to the days when they put that movie, The Secret, out, and everybody was running around making vision boards, right? And mm-hmm. I think people still do vision boards. But talk about that just a little bit, because you can't just make a vision board, right? Yeah.
And I think some people got caught up. I got caught up with The Secret. I was like, oh, this is it. This is it. I finally found it. This is it. I'm going to watch the movie. I'm going to read the book, and my life is going to be just bliss. That's all I need, right? And then I'm like, wait, I watched it. I read the book, but my life is the same. You know. So the thing is, we can't just talk about something or say mantras or have vision boards and then just sit back and just like, okay, I did the work, the end. No, that's not the work. We can't just think about something and not take what I call aligned action to actually achieve that. When I wanted to be fitter, I didn't just sit around thinking about going to the gym. I had to actually get up and go to the gym. When I wanted a higher paying career, I didn't just sit around and think about it or say, I'm going to have a high paying career at the end and then do anything. I had to build relationships. I had to apply for different jobs. I had to work with recruiters. I had to put in the work. So when we're trying to manifest something, we can think about it all day long, but it's not going to happen if we don't put in the aligned, actionable steps to get closer to what we're trying to manifest, on top of feeling how it's going to feel to have that. Imagine yourself or visualize yourself having that. What are you going to do with it? How is it going to feel to you? And then knowing the essences and the qualities of what it's going to provide to you, a better quality life, safety, security, what is it going to provide to you? When you put all of those in the mix, that's when we actually manifest what we want to have in the physical world.
You know, I'm thinking about all of the people that have been laid off jobs or let go, right? Mm-hmm. And up here in the Seattle area, which you've recently arrived in, we have a lot of tech companies, and they're reorging a bit. So quite a few of my clients are looking for jobs. Mm-hmm. They're worried about money. You know, they're worried about their sustainability. So your advice could go a long way. Talk very specifically, how do you use this to find a job?
Absolutely. And it's funny because some of my clients actually have lost their jobs as well. And they're like, Chloe, what do? I have a family, I have a mortgage, help. I'm like, this is what you do. Don't panic. First of all, we have to think as a trust muscle. And what I mean by that is the universe has our back. We co-create with the universe. The universe does not know what right or wrong is, what good or bad is. It simply is feeding off of your energy, whatever you think about, right? It's going to bring that back into the world because that is what you subconsciously believe in, and you believe it's going to happen for you. It's going to bring it back into your life. And that's why it's so important, especially at times when we are feeling an ebb in our life, that we have to think about how much we have, how grateful we are for where we are right now, and how the universe is going to provide for us. Now, it can feel scary. I get it, because you're like, well, I have a mortgage due. How am I going to stay positive and grateful if I don't have the money to pay the mortgage? Things will naturally flow for you. What I would suggest is obviously to continue to apply for jobs, but do it in a way where you're not stressed, you're not worried about things. Because when you trust something that you can't see, knowing that it's going to provide for you, that's when it provides for you, because you're trusting in a force greater than yourself that's going to find ways that your analytical mind cannot understand that something is going to show up in your life and happen for you. This is an example that I myself went through when I was starting out in my career and I was looking for a new opportunity. Things would always just show up. And I'm like, you know what? I want to do something different. And literally something would show up. Someone would email me or message me and they would say, hey, I have an opportunity. Are you interested? Just like magic, because the universe is like, I know you want something else. I'm going to bring it to you, but just be patient. I have your back. Don't worry about that. When we live life with ease and flow, that's when things happen to us easily and they flow into our lives. When we think about things that are going to stress us out, we panic. That's when that happens. We have chaos because we're panicking about what we don't have. Again, we have to focus on what we currently have and knowing that the universe is going to provide for us while still taking aligned action, such as applying to opportunities, networking with people, and taking the steps to making that thing happen. That's what we do to get our next career.
You're tapping into several things here. I think that it's really good. The lack mentality or the idea that I'm a victim or I'm powerless or I'm just sitting around chewing, biting my nails, watching the money drain out of my bank account or something. So this is a complete mindset change. This is, yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And once you do it for some time, you no longer feel stressed, even when something's taken away from you. What that simply means is the universe is trying to nudge you to change. It is telling you it's time for a change anyway. Yeah. Something greater is on the horizon, but I need you to be ready for that. I'm taking this away from you because you are not focused on your greater aspects in this life. So you need to up-level your life. I'm forcing you now to up-level your life. When you look at it that way, you then know, okay, I need to pivot my career. I have to change. I need to do something different and do that thing that's different. Do it. It's your time now. And don't do it scared. Do it lovingly and with ease and flow. And that's when that thing will show up in your life because you're doing what you need to do to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. So important. And so important. Yeah. So I'm also thinking you have a great chapter. I really liked chapter 13. How do we take our power back? Because I do know that a lot of people out there, my clients, your clients, a lot of people are in situations where there was somebody like a narcissist or somebody who's tearing them down and holding them back, and they don't know how to break free. So how do we take our power back?
Yeah, that chapter is very powerful because I've gone through that. And I want people to know that you're not alone. I've gone through that. I've went through that. I feel for you. And that's why chapter 13 is for the people who feel stuck, especially when someone is telling you time and time over and over again that you're worthless. You're not going to amount to anything. This is the best you can do. I'm the best you'll ever find. If you leave me, you're never going to find anybody better than me. And, I'm going to be able to tell you what to do, how to spend your money, who you can hang around with. I get it. And it's not the life you want to live. When someone is telling you what you can or can't do, they're a narcissist, they're toxic, and you need to get rid of them because they're draining you of your power and your energy. And we can take our power back by simply leaving the relationship, having a conversation with them, letting them know what we're going to do. If we need to have extra support to get the support with us, to have us strengthening, to be able to have the power to talk to them. If they're going to get irate, to not be around them, but send them a message or send them a letter and let them know that you're ending the relationship and having the power to do so, and then to walk away from the situation. If you're with a partner and you don't feel safe being able to talk about this with them, have someone else there with you. If you need to be with family and friends who you trust and then having that conversation with them in a group environment, then do that. But you need to be able to get yourself out of their environment in order to protect yourself, because they can get irate. They may feel that you're being taken away from them. and they don't want that to happen. They may do something hurtful to you or harmful. And in order to avoid that, you want to have others around you because they're unlikely to hurt you when there are other people around you and you have more people that are going to be able to protect you. And I would say go somewhere else and live your life, because this person will only pull you down a road of destruction. And we don't want that, because sometimes there's no coming back from a road that leads down to destruction. It can be detrimental to us. So for those of us who have a very abusive partner, again, use those tips to get out. If it's a coworker or someone that we work with and we can't completely eliminate their presence, I would say keep it very cordial and businesslike and professional. Whenever anything else comes up and you end the conversation politely but firmly and just say, well, thank you, I'm going to get back to my work, you have a great day, and that's it. You end the conversation. There's no need to go any further. But also let them know how you feel, because they may not know that they're treating you a certain way. So just tell them, is everything okay? Are you doing all right? Because whenever we have a conversation, it seems as if, you know, I trigger you and, you know, I don't want to upset you. So do you want to talk about that? And that can be in an email, that can be in a text, if you don't feel comfortable talking about that to them face to face. But when you do that, you're letting them know how they make you feel, and then they become aware of their behavior, which they may or may not be aware of, and that will get them to be more conscious about how they respond to you. The same for a parent or family member. You can use that same analogy to help you to manage the toxicity that's happening in your life.
I think it's really good advice. I'm also being with how people get, codependency, you know, is a real thing. And that can also be with like our job, like, how could I possibly let this job go? I'm getting paid so much and I hate it so much, or this relationship, but, you know, he does this, but then, you know, I love him so much, you know, this sort of confusion. Yeah,
it is, because we've been put under a spell by somebody else's magic, and that magic is the power of their mind, and they're manipulating you. They're grooming you, and you have become a person who now only responds to what they say or tell you. And you need to, again, take your power back because you've given it away. For people who are codependent, again, you have to want to change. They have to want it. We can't make or force or change anyone. People have free will in this world. So if someone's like, I just want to stay, they have to wake up one day on their own. We can't do anything. We can nudge them. We can give them hints and advice, but we can't force anyone to actually leave if they're not ready to leave. We can't do that. It's when they've had enough and they've realized, okay, I'm done, that's when they are ready to take that advice. But we can't force anyone, fortunately, to actually want to live a better life. We just have tried it. It doesn't work. We have to, you know, we can say things, but it's ultimately their decision to want to leave. So for the ones who are ready to go, they're like, I've had enough, I need to get out. You know what to do, because you're ready. And the tips I provided, the book, it'll give you what you need to do and what you need to know to get out and get out of that situation. So Untapped Magic will help you tap into your magic and leave them for good if you're ready to make that change.
So much good advice. Everybody, Untapped Magic, Manifestation Methods for Living a Limitless Life with Chloe Panta. I also loved what you just said. We're under a spell. Break through that. Use your own magic. And Chloe, last like seconds of the show, where can people find you? And what is it that you really want to say today?
People can find me at chloeponta.co. That's chloepanta.co. And I want to tell people that it's never too late. You can change your life. It's your time to shine. You're needed in this world. We need you because you are so unique and so special. No one has what you have. I don't have that. Loretta doesn't have that. You have that. If you're ready for change, Untapped Magic can be your guidebook to help you change your life and live your most limitless potential starting today. That's what I would say.
Beautiful. Chloe, from my heart to yours, thank you so much for being on the show. And to the listeners, please listen to this show again and again. Get her book, Untapped Magic, and let's use our Untapped Magic under the full total eclipse of the sun. Let's open our hearts. Thank you, Mr. Benny Mathers. You're the best. And blessings to everybody.